Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our risen and ascended Lord and Savior, and from the Holy Spirit whom is poured out upon our hearts this day as we gather around His Word and His Sacrament. Stay. Pretty simple. Pretty clear as to what's expected and what you want to have happen. I think we understand it. Stay. And I suppose the moment I said that word, and maybe as you hear it, you're immediately thinking about those four-footed and furry friends of yours, and the word, stay. I suppose you got to keep it somewhat simple. If your dog is anything like my dog used to be, there were days when I thought he was the most intelligent thing that ever walked on the face of the earth, but most of the time, not so much. So you got to keep it simple. Stay. And if all goes well, he stays as you start walking away, and he just sits there because he knows that if he sits there long enough, and if he's patient enough, and if he stays long enough, he gets a hot dog or some other kind of treat, and it's worth the wait. So he stays. It's kind of a nice trick, I suppose. It's a nice way for you to let you know that you've got a pretty good relationship with your dog. He's well-trained. He's under your control. But sometimes you might say stay, not just simply because you're playing with him or you're training with him, but because that keeps him safe. Stay, because you don't want him running out into the road. Stay, because you don't want him getting into a fight with the neighbor dog or running after the skunk. While you and I tend to think of stay as something we tell our dogs, perhaps it's also something that we've used with each other at times. Maybe you can think of a time, maybe it wasn't worded quite the same way and it didn't sound the same way, but in a sense you said to your kids, stay. Perhaps at work, somebody once said, stay, you stay here and I'm going to go someplace else and carry out that project. Stay. We turn our attention to our gospel for this Pentecost Sunday as we listen to Jesus talking to his disciples on Monday, Thursday evening. And we hear him talking about the fact that he's been saying these words while he was staying with them. And so we want to pick up on that idea of stay. Not just because it's a neat trick, but because God wants us safe in his care. Stay. Amazing as it is, God stays with us. And because of that, you stay with him. Stay. I think you could understand the God and creator of all things telling you and me, his creation, a command such as stay, or anything else that he may want you and me to do. But you and I marvel today at the fact that as Jesus talks with his disciples, it is God who stays. He follows his own command. God stays with us. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll get to marvel more about the Trinity next Sunday, but Pentecost Sunday also allows us to marvel at this amazing God. The Father stays. Jesus said to his disciples, "My Father loves you." Maybe we take that for granted. But perhaps there's also times as you and I listen to Jesus and we hear what he has to say and we watch him live on this earth and do the things that he did and he talks about loving us. Is that also the case for the God the Father, who maybe at times seems to be sort of distant and out there and maybe he doesn't share the same feelings that the Son does? The Father loves you and is going to make his home with you. Beautiful picture. Really, you've got the idea of rooming together. Remember when you went to college? You roomed with someone? Perhaps when you were in the hospital stay for a little bit, there was somebody else in the bed beside you, you roomed with that person for a while. God the Father loves you, and God the Father is going to room with you. He's going to come. He's going to move in. He's going to be your companion. He is the one who is there constantly for you and for me. God stays with us. God the Son stays with us. That's pretty obvious. God the Son left his throne in heaven and he came. He stayed here. And he walked and he talked and he lived and he worked and he grew and he ate and he slept and he did all the things that everybody else on this creation does. And as he talks to these disciples, he reminds them of how that very special way, especially over the last 3 years, he stayed with them. He was right there by their side. He was with them constantly, their constant companion. He also roomed with them. My Father loves you and He's going to come and we are going to come and make a home with you. God the Son stays with us. And yet as Jesus is doing the talking and you remember from the Passion histories and you remember the disciples' reaction throughout Maundy Thursday, even though they didn't fully get it, they were starting to understand that something's about to change. The way we're used to having Jesus here, the way that He's been staying with us and has been here by our side the whole time, is about to be different. And they don't like the idea that Jesus may not be there. But Jesus says, I'm going back to the Father. That's a necessary thing. Not because I'm leaving, but because I'm sending. Yes, God the Father stays with us as He rooms with us. God the Son stays with us as He lived here on this earth and rooms with us now through faith. But also so does God the Holy Spirit. Jesus may not be there right by our side anymore, but the Holy Spirit is. He's the Comforter. He's the one who comes and pulls us to His side and keeps us by His side. This is the one who is being sent by the Father in Jesus' name. We just confessed it. We believe in that Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Spirit is the one who will be their constant companion and remind them of everything that they had been taught. Remind them of everything that Jesus had said. All the things that are swimming around in their minds right now. All the things that they're absolutely convinced they'll never remember. He's the one who's there to teach. He's the one who's there to instruct. He's the one who's there to remind. And Pentecost gives us the fulfillment of that amazing promise that God stays with us. That amazing day of Pentecost, those disciples are in that room. They're doing what Jesus told them to do. He had said, you stay in the city and you wait until the Spirit comes. The sound of the wind, the tongues of fire, the different languages. God's keeping His promise. God is with us. God is with us, and He takes these timid disciples and He turns them into bold apostles. He takes them who are wondering, what is it that we're supposed to say? And allows them to stand up and speak out loudly and boldly and clearly that this is exactly what God said was going to take place. And now God's Holy Spirit is poured out upon His church. God stays with us. And you and I rejoice in the fact that unlike the Old Testament, when it was a specific prophet or a specific priest who had to do the work, every single one of us gets that gift of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us has been called to faith. Every single one of us has been claimed as God's dear child. Every single one of us gets to rejoice in the fact that God stays with us. And He uses us to tell the world, God's still here. That triune God still loves His creation, saved His creation, cares for His creation. God stays with us. So stay. Now all of a sudden this is not some kind of demeaning command. Now all of a sudden this is something you and I want to do. Precisely because God stays with us, now we stay with Him. Remember how Jesus put it, if anyone loves me, you will hold on to my word. And you and I gather this morning and we say, absolutely, we love our Lord and our God. Absolutely, we love our Savior. Absolutely, we want to hear what He has to say. That's why we came. We are here this morning, not so much because of what we get to give to our Lord and to our God. That's part of it. But we are here to rejoice in the fact of what He gives to me. You and I rejoice in the fact that we get to stay. We get to open up the pages of Scripture, and you and I, sinners as we are, who do not deserve to be in God's presence, have already heard God say, you're forgiven. You've heard it in the precious Word. Here is the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who stays with you, wants to be with you, and wants to room with you. That's how much He loves you. You're going to receive it again in this amazing supper. The very body and blood of God the Son for you. Obviously, we love our Lord and our Savior. Obviously, we cling to His Word. We're here, we listen, we read, we rejoice. And yet, as you hear Jesus say, "Whoever holds on to my word is the one who loves me," the follow-up warning also does hit home. Because as much as we love our Lord and our Savior, and as much as we love His word, we find ourselves at times losing grip on the word. Perhaps we get complacent. We've heard this so many times. We know what it has to say. We've got other things going on, and so we just sort of start mechanically going through the motions, and maybe we're hearing with this ear, but the brain is off someplace else, distracted by what else is going on today, distracted by other preparations that perhaps we need to make, distracted by other plans that are there, distracted by a world that is busy trying to tell you, this is how you think, this is how you act, this is what's acceptable, this is how you have to think about things, this is what you have to agree with, and there's a million distractions that are out there that might be trying to pull us away so that we don't stay with our God. And then all of a sudden, that warning hits home. The one who does not hold on to my word does not love me. Have there been times, and every sinner is going to have to say yes, have there been times that because of that complacency and because of those distractions, rather than holding the word, we started editing the word? I liked what I was doing. I want to keep on this path. I want to justify myself. I want to convince myself I'm okay. I need to soothe this conscience that somehow is a tad bit unsettled whenever I hear the word, and so I now start to bend and twist and edit and tear and add until I'm convinced that what God says agrees with what I want. And then I can keep on sinning. And then I can keep on thinking about myself. Then I can keep on staying in my own thoughts and ideas rather than staying with Him. The warning is sharp. Whoever does not hold on to my word does not love me. No wonder we need a Savior. No wonder you and I rejoice we have the Savior. No wonder you and I rejoice to hear what Jesus says. He's been saying this word ever since He rose again from the dead. He has been reminding us constantly of peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not the kind of peace that the world gives. It's as if our Lord and our Savior is reminding you and me that as you and I stay with Him, He is going to take this peace and He sets it down there in front of Him and He tells His disciples, yes, I am leaving. I'm not going to be with you the way you're used to having me here, but here's peace. That's yours. You keep it. You have it. It's not the kind of peace that the world gives. Oh, the world loves talking about peace. World peace is a constant concept. But you and I are living in a world that's no different than the Tower of Babel. There is no way that this world is going to come up with peace because we are too selfish to have peace. If there's going to be world peace, then you need to agree with me. And sooner or later, somebody's not going to agree and not going to like your terms of peace. It's got to be my terms. And the peace falls apart. Jesus' peace is not dependent on how you and I are feeling at the moment. Jesus' peace is not dependent upon how you and I are relating to each other at the moment. You have peace, period. No longer are you fighting with your Lord and your Savior. No longer do your sins stand in opposition to Him. They are gone. They are removed. They are covered by the blood of the Lamb. They are washed away and left behind in an empty tomb. Peace I give to you. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," your peace was handed to you. It was done. It was finished. It was taken care of. And now He comes to you with this amazing gift of completed and full salvation, and He says, "Now don't forget it's there. My peace I give to you. Remember what happened at your baptism. There you were adopted. Cling to these amazing words that tells you what Jesus has done for you. Rejoice in this supper. The peace that He gives to you individually as He tells you who He is and what He's done. Stay with Him. Stay with that precious Lord and Savior. So therefore, don't be agitated. Don't be all shook up. Don't be troubled. And don't be afraid. No matter what this world does, no matter what the latest thing is in the news that you are hearing, don't be agitated. Don't be afraid. Just stay. God stays with us. You stay with Him. And there you and I find that peace and that comfort. In your worship folder, you do see a quote from Martin Luther as he was talking about verse 23. You'll have an opportunity throughout the week to think about that even more. But just marvel at how he describes this amazing thing that is given to you and to me. This is a rich comfort and an exceedingly high honor. What greater glory and honor can there be than for us poor, miserable people on earth to be the divine majesty's dwelling, pleasure ground, and paradise, yes, His heavenly kingdom? Whatever you speak and do will please Him and will be regarded as spoken and done by Him. And whoever inflicts injury or sorrow on you will be doing it to Him. In addition, He will defend you well in body and soul. No one will consume you unless He has devoured Him first. No one will touch a hair of your head unless it is His will and unless He did this to Him first. In brief, your deeds will be accounted right and will continue over against all the raging and fuming of the devil in the world unless both the Father and the Christ are no longer God. Thus we are not only absolutely sure of all grace, love, and friendship in yonder life, but we are also assured that everything we teach here as Christian will be true, that our life will be pleasing and acceptable to God, and that it will all prosper permanently. Stay. God stays with you. You stay with Him. In this amazing day that we call Pentecost, in that amazing day where through that powerful word 3,000 people are brought to faith on that day, you and I rejoice that that work continues. God stays. The Father made His promise. The Son kept it. The Spirit's proclaiming it. You and I are recipients of that promise. We know our Savior. We know He stays with us. God's blessings as you stay with Him. Amen.